Chapter 1. A cool April drizzle pricks my face as I stand in the poorly lit parking lot of the Fremont Pharmacy with my rollaway suitcase. I'm picking at my cuticle and trying to figure out how everything I touch lately seems to turn to shit when Jonathan's black van rolls up to the curb. He quirks a pierced eyebrow at me in the rearview mirror as I wrestle my suitcase into the back next to Kevin's drums and slam the door. I climb into the passenger seat and yank my seatbelt. It yanks back, and I growl in frustration as I fling it at the window. I did not say fuck you to that lady. I said thank you. I toss my hands in the air. She was there to buy hearing aid batteries, and they're taking her word over mine. Smoke curls up from the tip of the cigarette pinched between his thumb and finger as he takes a drag and drops the van into gear. The customer's always right. I pull the seatbelt more slowly and click it, then thunk my head into the headrest a few times. Just put a big red stamp on my forehead. Samantha West, failure at life. Washed up at 21. His tongue pokes at the labret through the corner of his lower lip as he fights a smile. You're not really a failure at life. Just most aspects of it. I drop my head against the headrest as he pulls away from the curb. Thank you very little, Jonathan. You sound like my mother. So, you called? I came. What now? He asks, flicking a glance my direction as he weaves through city traffic toward the highway. From the way his tousled dark hair is flat on one side, I know I probably woke him up with that call. I was hoping I could crash with you till I figure everything out. I don't add that it might take a while. Since my parents threw me out last month, I've had this sinking feeling that maybe they're right. Maybe I am a total fuck-up who will never amount to anything. I just never thought, after a lifetime of Mom micromanaging my very existence, she'd give up on me so easy. I've been staying at my best friend Katie's since then. It was okay while she was home on break, but when she left to go back to school for spring quarter, it got weird. For the last few weeks, her parents have been dropping less than subtle hints that it might be time to go, which all came to a head yesterday. I left a load of laundry in the dryer, and when I remembered to check it, it was gone. I found it folded neatly into my suitcase in the guest room with a note inviting me to leave. Jonathan's eyes scrunch. Listen, Sam. You know if it was just up to me, you'd be in. But Kevin has been kind of pissed that you've crashed there so much without paying rent. Jonathan is frontman for a local indie band, Hell's Gate. And I met him almost a year ago when Katie took me out to help me forget about my cheating boyfriend. It worked. Jonathan always brings a groupie home from his gigs, and the night we met, that groupie was me. But we have an understanding now. It's been a party pretty much every night since then, though, either after hours at whatever bar he's playing, or at his place in Oakland after a gig, which is really why I flunked out of school. It's hard to haul your ass out of bed for 8 o'clock class when you just fell into it at 4, especially when said bed is at Jonathan's apartment in Oakland, which is over an hour from school. Kevin is Jonathan's drummer and apartment mate, and the one guy in the group who's never liked me. Probably because he made a play and I shut him down. I sleep in your room. It's not like I take up space or anything. He takes a drag off his cigarette and flicks the butt out the window as he exhales. Yeah, about that. You remember Ginger? Yeah. She's a groupie who started showing up at our after-hours parties about a month ago. We're kinda together, so...
No way! I crack a smile. You are not becoming a one-woman man.
He shrugs as he takes the ramp onto the highway. For now. I shove his shoulder. Hearts are breaking all over Northern California.